Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sota Daf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the beginning of the new perek, the sixth perek, and we're going to have a Mirtza Shem, an unusual experience with regard to today's shiur insofar as we might end up learning an entire perek of Gemara in one shiur. Of course, you'll notice that this is a rather short perek, ending on the upper part of Daf Lamed Beis Omid Aleph. Another point about this perek is that it seems to be almost out of place, and the location is pointed out by Tosfos. He mentions that this should have been interwoven with the first perek of the Masechta. So there's a silver lining in this that, as you all know, that review is the most important element of success in Torah learning and Torah understanding. And hence, we have a situation where most of the information that we'll be seeing today is Torah learning that we've done at the very beginning of this Masechta. The main discussion today will revolve around the ne'emonus of an eid echad, of one witness, something that we've discussed extensively at the beginning of the Masechta. So now we turn to the Mishnah. Mi shekino es the kino liishto. There's a girsa that you see in the Tosfos that says mi shekino means once he had warned his wife. Or, if you use the words as they appear here, one who had warned his wife not to go in seclusion with someone else, v'nistara, and she violated the warning, afilu shoma me'oif haporeach, even if the husband heard from a nobody, literally from a flying bird, that his wife had gone into privacy, into seclusion with another man. In other words, the source of information for her going into seclusion is minimal in terms of significance. It's not as if you have two witnesses telling him that. Nevertheless, there was a warning. And then the discovery of her going into seclusion, Yoitzi V'yitein Ksuba, Divrei Rebbe Eliezer. If the husband doesn't want to take her to the Beis HaMikdash for the drinking of the Sota water, then there is sufficient grounds to divorce her, but she will receive her Ksuba. This is Rebbe Lezer's opinion, and this is Rebbe Lezer consistent with what he said at the very beginning of the Masechta, that for Stira, for information concerning the seclusion, even the husband himself, that's called Alpi Atzmo, would be believed. Let's take a look together at the Rashi. Filu Shoma Meot Vaparech, Shenistro, even if you heard from a flying bird that his wife had gone into seclusion after the warning. Yotzi Viten Ksuba, Reb Lezer Tamei, the Yotzi is he divorces her, pays her the Ksuba, and this is Reb Lezer consistent with what he has said in the past, Yomar Beperekama, Stira Lobaya Edus. The testimony concerning her going into seclusion doesn't require formal testimony. When we speak about formal testimony, that's the testimony of two kosher witnesses. Not so for Stira, according to Rebbe Lezer. Vafilu Eved, Vafilu Shivcha, Ne'emonim, even a slave or a bondmaid, a heathen bondmaid, would be believed. Dahainu Nami Kaifa Porech, that's similar to a flying bird. The Iskish Lutuma, the kulu mehemni ba. Seclusion is compared to testimony concerning actual intimacy. Tumah is a term referring to someone having witnessed her actual act of intimacy with the paramour. The kulhu mehemni ba. With regard to testimony concerning Tumah, everyone is believed. Hilkoch ne'esra lov. And here, this is a very important point. The Mishnah had said he should divorce her, but he does pay the ksub in the event that he doesn't want to give her to drink. He has to divorce her because she's become prohibited to him. V'im eino rotzi lashkos, if he doesn't want to give her the sota water in the Beis HaMikdash to drink, yotzi, he must divorce her. V'yitein ksuba, and pay her the ksuba money. The ksuba, of course, is the financial guarantee that a woman receives by virtue of a tatanai basin or a document that's written up. It's called the ksuba, that in the event she is divorced or becomes a widow, she receives monetary compensation. That is paid to her here if he doesn't bring her to drink. Let's continue now in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ad Shisu V'yitnu Ba Moizoros Balavona. And here, let's take a look at the Rashi. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ad Shisu V'yitnu Ba Moizoros Balavona, Klomar. Mishum Stira She'ein Ba Shnei Edim. Because of seclusion that lacks the testimony of two witnesses, two kosher witnesses, saying thusly, Eino Ne'eseres Olav. She does not become prohibited. This is, of course, an old Machlokas Tanoim that we learned at the beginning of the Sechta. What is necessary to establish this seclusion? Reb Lezer says, no formal testimony is necessary. Reb Yeshua says, for seclusion you have to have two kosher witnesses. And if you don't have that, she doesn't become prohibited. Just because you warned her, that's not enough. There has to be warning, plus evidence of her being in seclusion with the paramour. Rabbi Shua Letamei, this is, again, a demonstration of consistency, this time on the part of Rabbi Yeshua, D'yomar Mashke al Pishnayim, that in order to bring her to the Beis Hamikdash to drink, i.e., in order to verify that there was seclusion, which is the grounds on which we bring her to drink, you need two witnesses. Miu, kishe yisuv yitnu mozoros belavona bepritzusa, when the mozoros has to do with women that spin wool, belavona means at night. It's a reference to a certain group in the general population that tend to gossip with one another. So when they start to talk about her looseness, her frivolousness, mechur hadavar v'teitse, it's disgusting, it's reprehensible, and she should leave. She should leave the marriage. Daha afilu maya sulo batkila, a married woman who has become the subject of gossip concerning her morality, is a woman that the waters will no longer check. The waters are not going to be effective in a case like that. Kinesan perakama utahorahi, from the pasuk that says utori we darshin veloshi yisu v'yitnu bo mozoros balavona, and not a woman who is the subject of the nighttime gossipers. Let's now continue in the Mishnah. Omar Eid Echad, Ani Roisio Shinit Mace. A single witness says that when she was in that seclusion, that according to Rabbi Yeshua, there were two witnesses concerning the seclusion. According to Rabbi Lezer, even without two witnesses, but one witness comes and says, concerning the time she was in that seclusion, I saw her in from behind a closed door, but I was there when she was engaged, when she was involved in actual act of intimacy. Oh, so if in addition to testimony that she was in seclusion, a single witness comes and tells us that he saw the act of intimacy between the married woman and the paramour, lo hoisa shoisa, she would not drink. One witness is believed regarding this, even to the extent that she'll lose her ksuba, because you have already suspicious circumstances. She was warned, there was seclusion, and on top of all of that, a witness comes and says that I saw the actual act of intimacy, that she's definitely been defiled, she's definitely defiled herself, and therefore there's no drinking. The drinking is to establish, to determine a circumstance of doubt. There's no doubt over here. Velo od elo afilu ever afilu shivcha hari elu ne'monim af leposla miksubasa. Regarding testimony of tumah, these non-eligible witnesses in general laws of testimony, when it comes to testimony of tumah, of actual intimacy, they are believed, and so much so, even to the extent that she will not receive her ksuba. Okay, so there's no drinking, there's no ksuba, because in the case of Eid Echad of Tumah, on the heels of Kinui and Stira, which we called Raglayim Ladover, we already had suspicious circumstances, this, according to the Torah, by virtue of Exeris HaKosuv, one witness is believed when that witness says, I saw the actual act of intimacy. Even though this is an individual that wouldn't be acceptable in other areas of testimony law. The Mishnah continues with a list of five women. This list is, for people who are study Gemara, I would say it's a famous list. It's a list of five women that in other areas of halacha are not believed concerning their testimony when it comes to this particular relative. A mother-in-law, for example, that's the first example. She is not believed in general. Here, there will be an exception. The general case, you find in Maseches Yevomos, where information concerning the death of a husband would lead to the ability of the wife, now widow, to remarry. And the halacha recognizes that information, even if it's conveyed on the part of people that ordinarily you wouldn't believe in terms of testimony, there is a leniency with regard to that information, death of husband. And in that context, we say these five women we would not believe, because these five women, I guess it's part of the nature of mankind that these five women are actually interested in messing up their relative, the woman who would benefit from that testimony. They're happy to mess her up, meaning they'll say that, yeah, your husband is dead, when he's really alive. In the meantime, she'll go and marry someone else, and the husband will come back, and thinking that he was dead because these women said so. So we don't believe them. They'll, in general, mess up their relative. Now, who are these five women? And I say, in this case, you'll see that the Mishnah says they are believed. They're believed to say nitmes. And as a result of their testimony, she will not drink. She's not going to lose the ksuba, though. So that is a bit different than the standard case of Nehemonas. Now let's see, who are the five women? Chamosa, a lady's mother-in-law. If she says, I saw my daughter-in-law in an act of intimacy, of course, after there was a kinui and stira, ubas chamosa, it's a sister-in-law. It's the daughter of her mother-in-law. It's her sister-in-law. The sarosa, a co-wife. And of course, the halacha recognizes bigamous marriages. So a co-wife is the third lady. The yevimta. Yevimta is the wife of one's husband's brother. We might call that another kind of sister-in-law, but it's one's brother-in-law's wife. It's that lady, the Avimta, the brother of one's the wife of one's husband's brother. Suspicion in general, why we wouldn't rely her in the case of the testimony of your husband is dead, is because in the event that this lady's husband dies, leaving no children, this lady is going to end up marrying her husband's brother. And she's now going to turn out to be a co-wife with this husband's brother's wife. And number five, Ubas Baila, the daughter of one's husband from another wife. Harei Elu Nemanos. Here, in the case of testimony concerning intimacy, if they say, I saw her in an act of intimacy, they are believed. Velo le poslo miksuba, so not to the extent that she would end up losing the ksuba. Elo shelo tishteh. Simply, she will not drink. She's considered tamea to the extent considered having been defiled, leaving no doubt about that. Vis-a-vis, there's no need for her to drink. But as far as believing these women who don't seek out her welfare and cause her to lose money, that far we're not going to go. And now we continue on the heels of what we are suggesting, that minimum testimony, minimum quality testimony is necessary for edus of tuma, shehoya bedin. That means through logic, I would not have believed a single witness. Testimony in general requires two witnesses, not any less than that. Here we have this, we'll call this leniency, that we're accepting one witness. Then the Mishnah tells us at this point, all of this we've seen before, by the way, that technically or logically, I wouldn't have believed one witness. If not for the fact that the Torah says to believe them, on my own, I wouldn't have believed them. When I say Torah says, it means a gzeres hakos, of a special scriptural ruling that otherwise I wouldn't have accepted. Why not? Shehoya bedin, logic would have told me, uma im edus rishona, she'eno sarta isur olam. The term edus rishona is a reference to stira. Stira, the a testimony concerning her being in seclusion. Witnesses tell her she was in seclusion with a paramour. Does that make her permanently usher to her husband? No, because she could drink the water and turn out to be innocent. So, Edus Rishona, She'eno Sarta Isur Olam, it doesn't permanently prohibit her to her husband. Eino Miskayemes Bepochos Mishnaim. According to Rabbi Yeshua, you cannot have testimony of Stira with any less than two witnesses. You've got a formal testimony for Stira. Edus Achrona. Edus Achron is a reference to Tuma, the act of witnessing the intimacy. Edus Achrona she'osarti sur olam. If there is testimony that she had been in the married woman had been involved with actual sexual intimacy with the paramour, she's prohibited to her husband permanently. Eino din shelo tiskayim bepochos mishnayim. All the more so, you should insist on having two proper witnesses. So how is it that for a relatively light matter we require two proper witnesses? For a permanent prohibition, we certainly should require two proper witnesses. Why is it then that we accept even one witness? Talmud Loimar, V'eid Ein Bo. This is a posuk that we've seen so many times at the beginning of the Masechta. Bamidbor Perikei Posuk Yud Gimel. Let's read the pasuk together. It says, "V'shochav isha isha shichvazera v'neela me'ene isha v'nistera v'hi nitma'a v'eid ein bo v'hi lo nitpasa." The pasuk describes her having had intimacy and not known to her husband. She went into a private and she was defiled. And it says in the pasuk, "V'eid ein bo v'hi lo nitpasa." "V'hi lo nitpasa" means, and she was not raped. What does that mean, "eid ein bo"? So the Mishnah says, "Kol edus sheyesh ba." We derive from this that whatever witness, whatever testimony you have, they will be believed. Let's take a look at Rashi. "Kol edus sheyesh ba." Second line from the bottom. "Ne'emon ba." Whatever testimony you have will be believed regarding tumah. Uvegemori alfinun lo dahachi komar the Gemara will tell us that what the Pasuk is really trying to say is as follows. Trei les ba. When it says aid, ein ba, aid is a word meaning, even though it's written in the singular form grammatically, it really means two witnesses. So that the Torah is saying, trei les ba, two there are not. Well, how many are there? Eloch echad, there is one. The Kamar v'ilonit pasa. And the Pasuk describes the case as a non-rape, meaning willingness. Le maestra, that answers her. Alma mehemon. So we see from this that one witness who testifies, I saw the intimacy, she, the married woman, becomes prohibited to her husband. She also becomes prohibited to the paramour, as we've seen in the past. Now, you'll ask, what do you mean she becomes prohibited? In the event that her husband dies, she will not be allowed to marry this paramour. The Gemara continues. Now that we've established that for Eidus of Tuma, which we called Eidus Achrona, or permanent type of prohibition, one witness is believed. How many witnesses should we require for seclusion, for the stira? If for this very weighty matter one witness is enough, for a less weighty matter like seclusion, certainly one witness should be enough, and yet we don't say that. Kal v'chomer li edus horishona me'ato. Now that we've said what we have regarding edus of tuma, edus rishona, edus of stira, certainly should be acceptable with even one witness. Oma im. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Eidus achroino shosati se'olam harehi miskayemes be'ed echad. Mind you, Eidus achrona, Eidus of tuma, which permanently, if a witness says that she, I saw her in intimacy, that prohibits her permanently to her husband, and it's miskayemes, it's fulfilled, it's accepted with eid echad, one witness. Eidus horishono shenosati se'olam, the Eidus concerning seclusion, which doesn't permanently prohibit it, it prohibits her until she comes to drink. All the more so, it should be accepted if you have even one witness. Talmud Loimar, ki motza bo ervas dovar. That pasuk is in Sefer Dvorim. Ulahalanu omer al pishnai meidim yokum dovar. The pasuk, by the way, of ki motza bo ervas dovar, has to do with issues concerning immorality. And of course, a married woman being suspect of going with another man is an issue of ervas dover, an issue of immorality. And in Sefer Dvaram Perek Yutes, it says, Apishnayim Eidim Yokum Dovar. Notice the word Dovar is dashed underlined again. Ma lahalon al pishnayim, just like over there in Perek Yutes, it specifies two witnesses. Af kan, so too, with regard to edus of seclusion, af kan al pishnayim. You would require two witnesses. At this point, we have three cases that we can read the Mishnah translated, but the Gemara will be focusing on them and explain them quite thoroughly later on. And if we wait for the Gemara, so we'll appreciate these lines much more than trying to explain them too much right now. Let's see. Case 1. Eid Omer Nitmes. V'eid Omer Lo Nitmes. A singular witness says, I saw her defiled. And another witness says the opposite. Isho imeres nitmes, visho imeres lo nitmes. A woman says, yes, she was defiled. Another woman says she wasn't defiled. Hoysa shoysa. They cancel each other out. And let's assume, as we have all along, we're talking about a case where there had been a warning, and she had gone into seclusion. As far as our knowledge of Tuma is concerned, that's been canceled out. So we're left with the initial warning and the seclusion. So she goes and drinks. Let's take a look at Rashi on the second line from the top. Eid Omer Nitmeis Ve'ed Omer Lo Nitmeis Uki Chad Bahadi Chad, stand one up against the other. They cancel each other out. Varehi Kisfeka V'shoisa. She was like a case of a doubt. And how come a doubt arose? Because she received the warning. She went into seclusion. And we have a doubt. Next case. Echod Oimer Nitmeis Ushnayim Oimrim Lo Nitmeis. One witness says she has been defiled. She was engaged in an act of intimacy. Two witnesses say to that, they say to that one witness, and the explanation we're giving right now is beyond the translation. We're taking it from the Rashi. The two witnesses say to the one witness, Lo Nitmeis, meaning she was not defiled in your presence. Because when you were there, we were there with you, and we saw a locked door. In other words, we were not on the other side of the door in the same room as the woman and the paramour, and you were with us. So you could not have seen the act of intimacy as you are claiming. Hoysa shoysa. So the woman will be made to drink. Maybe the intimacy took place before these people showed up. I said too limited an example. I said that we were on the other side of the door. No, they could have been in the same room with her and the paramour. But the point is, these two witnesses are saying to that one witness, while you were there, we were there with you, and we did not see any act of intimacy. It could be that before we showed up, before you showed up, in fact, there was an act of intimacy. So there is that doubt remains. So hoysa shoysa, she is going to drink. Shnayim oimrim nitmeis ve'echod oimer lo nitmeis. Here we have a case of two saying she was defiled, one saying not, two against one. Lo hoysa shoysa, because the two who are saying nitmeis, they're establishing without any doubt that she was defiled. And a woman, as we've said so many times, a woman who was actually involved in an actual act of intimacy, so there's obviously no drinking. The drinking in the Beis HaMikdash is only to resolve a point of doubt, not something that's certain. The Gemara opens with a question. You notice we have to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text an arrow, a squiggled arrow. You can align this with the line above in the Mishnah. And the Gemara is going to ask a question regarding source information for the believability of one witness, or alternatively, the need for two witnesses in the case of Eidus of Stira. The Mishnah said, how do I know that you need to have two witnesses for Eidus of Stira? So in the Mishnah, we saw a Gezeira Shav of Dovar Dovar. But is that really the source? Hi, the Gemara asks. Hi, Talmud Lomar Ki Motzo Bo Ervas Dovar. The source that Eidus Rishon of, Eidus of seclusion, testimony concerning seclusion, requires two witnesses. The Mishnah claimed that it's learned from the Dovar Dovar Gezeira Shava, the word comparison. But that's not so. Talmud Lomar Bo. You remember the pasuk we had, pasuk Yud Gimel, the Eid Ein Bo? And in that pasuk we said, two witnesses there aren't, but one witness there is. And that pasuk was dealing with tumah, was dealing with actual testimony of intimacy, not seclusion. So the Torah uses a limitation expression, Bo, meaning Bo velo bekinui, Bo velo bestira. That's what the Mishnah should have said. Let's go over that. The Torah said, Eid Ein Bo means, in other words, that in the case of Tuma, one witness is enough. Yeah, by Bo, by Tuma, Bo is a pronoun. There, by Tuma, one witness is enough, but it's not enough for Kinui. It's not enough for Stira. You need to have two witnesses for Stira. Miboyale means that's what the Mishnah should have said. So that the citation of a Gzeira Shava on the part of the Mishnah seems to be erroneous. The Gemara responds, Hochi Nami Ko'omar. The Mishnah assumed this source, and the Mishnah is to be understood thusly. Talmud Lomar Bo. As far as testimony concerning Stira, we call it Edus Rishona, we learned that you need to have two witnesses from the word Bo. Bo velo bekinui. Bo meaning regarding Tuma, one witness is enough, but not enough for verifying that there was a warning. Bo velo bestira. One witness is enough for Tuma, but it's not enough to establish that there had been seclusion. For that, you need two witnesses. The Tuma be'alma below kinui ubelo stira. De lo mehem on eid echad menalan. Tuma in general, in other words, acts of prohibited intimacy. A married woman goes off with another man, and that married woman did not receive a warning from her husband, and there was no testimony concerning seclusion. We'll call this testimony out of the blue that a married woman had intimacy with some other guy. One witness is not believed. The whole believability of one witness is raglayim ledover, as we said before. It's coming on the heels of suspicious circumstances. There had been a warning. She went into seclusion with the other guy. But coming out of the blue, telling us about a married woman having intimacy with some other guy, the boss at her work, we're not going to believe one witness. Menolan, from where do we know that? Nemar kan dovar v'nemar lahalon dovar. It says in the realm of prohibited relations, the word dovar, ki motzaber vas dovar, and it says in the realm of testimony, al pishnayim edim yokum dovar, malalon bishnei edim, just like in the posuk dealing with testimony, it says explicitly two witnesses. Afkan, so too in matters of prohibited relations, if you want to have testimony concerning that, b'shnei edim, you'll have to have two witnesses. So we are seeing this point. I know for some of you it might sound like, wow, we've seen this so many times, but it's significant just to recognize that the concept of testimony concerning forbidden intimacy, generally speaking, you'll have to have two witnesses. However, if it's a situation of a woman that had been warned by her husband and there was subsequent testimony concerning her being in seclusion with another guy, and to top it all off, one witness comes and says, I saw it, while she was in that seclusion, I saw her performing an act of intimacy. In that case, we'll believe even the one witness. We continue in the Gemara, and by glancing also at the side, in the margin, the nosei, the topic heading, Ne'monus eid echod, the believability of one witness, lahaid shenit ma'a. So the Gemara says, eid omer nitmes. We saw in our Mishnah where one witness said she was defiled, and then we saw one witness saying she's not defiled. That was we have triangles numbered above. Triangle number one in the Mishnah said eid omer nitmes ve'eid omer lo nitmes, and the conclusion of that was she will end up drinking. Why does she drink? Taima dekomakish lei. The reason that she is made to drink is because the witness that had said nitmes was contradicted by a single witness saying lo nitmes. So they cancel each other out. You're left with the original doubt of a woman having received the warning and gone into seclusion. So the Mishnah rules, she drinks. Ha lo ka makrish le eid echod mehemon. Had there been no contradiction, then the single witness would have been believed. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara delves into what's the source for one witness of Tuma being believed. Up till now, we've been working with that as an assumption, and yes, we we saw in the Mishnah, we made reference to a Pasuk Eidein Ba. The Gemara is going to delve into that. That's within the brackets. It cites the Pasuk as we've already indicated. We have in Gemara markings put in a brackets here for one simple reason. And it's because the Gemara after the brackets is going to be asking a question on that which we just said. So that to maintain the logical flow, we just said that if there is no contradiction, though, so one witness is believed. If there is contradiction, namely, witness one comes in and says, "I saw the tumah." A second witness contradicts, says, "No, there was no tumah." So then we don't accept the first witness who said there was tumah. But why should that be? Why is it that we reject that first witness just because there was a contradiction? Let's skip to the question after the brackets. V'kei v'ndimido raiso eid echad mehemon. Since the Torah gives believability to a single witness who says tumah, that there was tumah. Idoch hechi motzi makhishle. How can a single witness that comes in afterwards to contradict him? How can he have any halachic weight? The Omar Ula teaches a principle. Kol mokoyim shemino Torah eid echad. Wherever the Torah grants believability to one witness. Those are obviously exceptional cases, but the Torah says, in this case, one witness is believed. And here we're dealing with that. One witness who says, "I saw the tumah," is believed. Hare kan shnayim, that one witness has the strength of two. V'ein dvarav shel echad b'mokom shnayim. There's no room for the words of echad. That's the contradicting witness. He's a single witness saying lo nitmes. So one person saying lo nitmes has no chance against the power of two. True, it's only one human being, but it's one human being who is vested with the power of two. So how is it that there's any hakosha? So above, we said that one witness who says nitmes is believed when they're not challenged, but if they're challenged by another one witness saying the opposite, so we reject the one witness who said tuma. But that should not be. Even if the Eid Echad who said nitmes is contradicted by a single witness saying lo nitmes, we should disregard that lo nitmes information. And she shouldn't drink. And yet the Mishnah said, Hoysa Shaisa, she does drink. Elo Omar Ula, who was just cited as the source of our question, Ula says, Tani lo Hoysa Shaisa. He says, change the reading of the Mishnah to say she would not drink. V'chein Omar Rabbi Yitzchok, lo Hoysa Shaisa. Rivsuk says the same thing. Not like what we see printed in the Mishnah, but rather, if one witness says she's nitmes, and then one witness says lo nitmes, we don't listen to the lo nitmes. He's one against the power of two. And we're left with nitmes. Nitmes, the woman doesn't drink. Okay, we skipped a bracketed section, so let's go over that now. The Gemara had said that had there been no contradiction, so Eid Echad Mehemon, a single witness who says, I saw Tumah, is believed, and there's no drinking. Mino Hanimili Detonu Rabbonon. What's the basis of this teaching? So the Pasuk says, we saw Bamidbar Perakei, Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'Eid Ein Ba. B'Shnayim HaKosuv Medaber. Even though grammatically aid is a witness in the singular, the oral law is telling me that aid means two. There aren't. Bishnayim. There aren't two. Ata oimer bishnayim o eino elo be'echad. When it says aid ain't ba, maybe it means, as grammar would dictate, there is no witness. So what are we to make of the word aid when you see that? Does it mean two Or does it mean, as grammar would indicate, one? Talmud Loimar, the Pasuk says elsewhere, Lo Yokum Eid Echod Beish Vechule. There shall not rise up a single witness to testify against a person. Mi mashma she ne'emar lo yokum eid. This pasuk, you know, in the Torah, every word, every letter has significance. The pasuk we just read, lo yokum eid. Did it have to add the word echad? Isn't eid already grammatically in the singular? From the fact that the Torah says lo yokum eid, eini yodea shu echad, would I not have known that it's one? Ma Talmud Lomar Echad? Why add the word Echad? So the answer to that is Ze Bono Av. This teaches us a general rule. Kol Mokum Shemar Eid, wherever you see the word Eid without the word Echad, the qualifier of Echad, if you see the word Eid alone, then Hare Kan Shnayim, it's a reference to two. Ad Sheifrut Lo Hakosav Echad, until the Torah specifies the word Echad. The Omar Rahmana, and the Torah is saying, in the case of the Sota, it's what was the Pasuk at the beginning of the source, Eid Ein Bo, what is it saying? Trei Les Bo Elochad. Two there aren't, but one there is. And the Pasuk goes on to say, V'hi lo nitpasan, this lady was not raped, she was a willing partner. Asura. By the fact that the Pasuk describes her as a willing partner, that means she is prohibited. So it's from this Pasuk, V'eid Ein Bo, that we know that one witness that says nitmes is believed in the case of the Sota, of course, coming on the heels of the Kinui and the Stiro. We continue reading the section we read already, but as we mentioned, this is a throwback to the Gemara before the brackets. V'kevon d'midoraisa eid echad mehemon. Since, as we've just established now, we saw the sources, that one witness is believed to say nitme'a, that she was defiled. Idoch heichi motzi matrishlei. How can another single witness that comes in and says lo nitmeis, how could he be given any legal weight and be described as contradicting successfully the first witness? The first witness who said nitmeis. The Amar Ula. Ula teaches us a principle. Kol mokom shemina Torah eid echad. Wherever the Torah gives believability to a single witness, Hare kan shnayim, he has the legal strength of two. V'ein Torah shel echad b'mokom shnayim. And in general, as you all know, when it's two against one, the one is nothing. He's like non-existent. So what do you have over here? You've got, albeit physically, one witness, but he who has the power of two saying nitmes. The contradicting voice is simply to be disregarded. Oh, so then, if that's the case, so the guy that said nitmes, that is it. Why then does the Mishnah say that? In that case, she is given to drink. Once we hear nitmes from a source of believability, that's as good as saying she's definitely defiled. Definitely defiled. Of course, there's no drinking. Drinking is only to clarify a doubt, but there's no doubt. Hello, Mula, Tani, Lo, Isa, Shoisa. In the case that we had in the Mishnah labeled as triangle number one, the conclusion of that section should be, instead of hoysa shoysa, it should be lo hoysa shoysa. She would not drink, because the one witness that says nitmes has the power of two. V'chein omar Rabbi Yitzchak lo hoysa shoysa. She would not be given to drink, because as we said, the one witness that said nitmes has the power of two, leaving no room for a contradictory single witness to claim otherwise. Rabbi Chi omar hoysa shoysa. Well, Rabbi Chiya doesn't change the Mishnah. He leaves it as it is. Well, if that's the case, the Rabbi Chiya kashya d'ula. As far as Rabbi Chiya is concerned, then isn't Ula's principle a problem for Rabbi Chiya's approach? Lo kashya. There is no problem for Rabbi Chiya. You've got our Mishnah is really featuring one scenario, and Ula is dealing with another scenario. Kan bebasachas, the case in the Mishnah is where those two contradictory witnesses come in at the same time. In other words, witness one says nitmes, and toch kedei dibur, within 2-3 seconds of his testimony, the other guy says no, lo nitmes. There was no time for the first testimony of nitmes to gel, to harden, to concretize, to take root. It was immediately refuted, or was immediately contradicted. However, Kan Ula's din is bozeh harzeh. Ula's din is a case where one witness comes in by himself saying, nitmes, I saw her in intimacy. And he walks out of the court. Sometime later, another witness comes in and says, lo nitmes. Too late. The first witness who said nitmes, his testimony had been accepted. It wasn't toch kedei dibur, within a 2-second time frame where it's considered one unit of time. This case is, there was a gap in time between the first witness who said nitmes, his testimony was accepted, and then afterwards a contradictory witness came in. Too late. We don't reckon with it. We don't believe it because of Ula's principle. Kol makom sheminu Torah eid echad, harei kan shnayim. Tnan, eid omer nitmes, ushnayim omrim lo nitmes. Hoysa shoysa. I hope this is familiar. You look back in the Mishnah, you see case number 2 above. One witness said nitmes, and two witnesses said lo nitmes. The Mishnah in triangle number 2 said she will drink. There is room to draw an inference from here, where in this quote from the Mishnah, the one witness who said nitmes, he was contradicted by two witnesses who said, how can you say nitmes when we were there together with you and there was no intimacy? So the testimony of that one witness saying nitmes is voided, is refuted. We could infer from this, though, ha chad vechad, if it was one against one, not one against two, but one witness saying nitmes and one witness saying lo nitmes, then the ruling would be different. It would be lo hoysa shoysa. She would not drink. Why wouldn't she drink? Well, like the one witness we saw before has the power of two, and he's claiming nitmes. The second guy has no room to refute him. Tufta de Reb Chiya. Here we have a case of chad chad, one against one, and the inference is lo hoysa shoysa. What did Reb Chiya say about a case of chad chad? He said, yes, shoysa. So this is a challenge to Reb Chiya. Omar loch Reb Chiya. According to you, that claim that the Mishnah is really being taught for its inference, and you're using that inference as a question on me, well, Eimo Seifa, just continue reading the Mishnah and see what you end up with now. This is the third case, the third triangle from above. Shnayim Oimrim Nitmeis, Ve'echod Omer Lo Nitmeis. Two witnesses say that she was in defiled, one saying no, lo hoysa shoysa. Oh, two saying she's defiled, there's no chance for one to say otherwise. So she's definitely guilty, no need for drinking. What would you infer from here? Ho, chad vechad, but if it was one against one saying nitmes and one saying lo nitmes, then the inferred case would be hoysa shoysa, not like in the Mishnah's case, so it said lo hoysa shoysa, but the inferred case would be if it's one against one, she would drink. So Rabbi Chiya is saying, if you're going to say that the Mishnah is here to tell me inference cases, you've got a contradiction. Just take a look at what we've marked off. The first diamond had was followed by a dashed underline statement, lo hoysa shoysa. And here the same case, hoysa shoysa. So Rabbi Chiya continues with his explanation. Elokula bepsuli edus. The Mishnah is actually to be learned at face value, meaning no inferences, don't draw inferences. And the Mishnah is dealing with testimony from those who are psuliatus, people who in general are not accepted as kosher witnesses according to the laws of testimony. The common example would be women. Women are not do not function as witnesses where formal testimony is required. Here, in the realm of Tuma, of the Sota, we know that there's a, we'll say we deviate from the rules of traditional, the traditional requirements for testimony. And the whole Mishnah, when it speaks about two against one and one against two, we're talking about psulei edus. The Rabbi Nechemyahi. And as Rashi emphasizes, what Bria is telling us, the Mishnah is not to be learned for the sake of the inferences, but rather the Mishnah is to be learned at face value. And there's, of course, therefore, there's no kasha on Rabbi Chiya. The whole kasha on Rabbi Chiya was developed because of the inference that we drew from case two, but disregard that. And we learn the Mishnah as being based on or authored by Rabbi Nechemyah, and it's in accordance with Rabbi Nechemyah. Desanya, Rabbi Nechemyah oimer kol mokom shemina Torah eid echad, wherever the Torah believes a single witness, like our case, the edus of Tuma by a sota, halochacha rov deos. If there is any contradiction or controversy in the testimony, follow the majority of deos, majority of opinions, or the majority of the people, what they're saying. We call it the source goes on, but from the Rashi on Daf Lamed base, we can say that this is not Rabbi Nechemyah continuing to speak, but rather it's an added interpretation, or it's an application of Rabbi Chiya. The asu shtei noshim beish echad kishnei anoshim beish echad. As a result of this unique realm of testimony, namely a realm in which the Torah believes an eid echad, it's all a matter of numbers, and two women will win out, or their words will be accepted against even a man if he's one man. Just like two men beat out one man in testimony. So what you do at this point is you go back to the quotes from the Mishnah case. Take, for example, case number two. One witness said nitmeis. Two say lo nitmeis. So you follow the majority. So it essentially is there's no testimony of actual tuma. Okay, so then you're left with the original doubt. The woman was warned. There's testimony she was in seclusion, so she drinks. Case three. Two witnesses saying that she was defiled. One saying not defiled. Two against one. You follow the two that say she was defiled. No drinking. V'ika di'amri. And then we have a variation, another approach, another version of what we have just said. Kol hecha da'asa eid echad kosher me'ikara. If one man, one adult man, an adult man is called an eid echad kosher, an acceptable, he's an individual that would be acceptable in the general laws of testimony. So if an eid echad kosher comes at the outset saying, nitmeis, I saw defilement, Afilu mea noshim nami ke'edech odamyan. Even 100 women that would contradict have no more power than one witness. And therefore, they will not be believed. And there is, as a result, there's going to be no drinking, because we're going to be accepting that Eid Echad Kosher who came saying, Nitmeis. I hope you notice that in this second version, we're not relegating the Ish Echad to be defeated by two women. In the first version, two women would win out against one man. Not in this case. Not in this version. We continue at the top of Daf Lamed Beis. V'hocha v'maya skinon. In our Mishnah, where it said, one witness said, defiled. Two witnesses say, not defiled. She does drink. Well, what's the case then? Kegon dasoi isha meikara. The first witness that showed up was a woman. A woman who said, nitmeis. And then two women say, lo nitmeis. So the two women beat out the one woman. You're left with the case of lo nitmeis. No testimony of actual intimacy. And therefore, she'll drink. Fetirza l'derebi Nechemya hachi. And they say, straighten out the Rebbe Nechemya presentation as follows. Rebbe Nechemya oimer, kol mokoim shemina Torah eid echad, haloch acha rov deos. Wherever the Torah grants believability to a single witness, as is the case of the sota and testimony of nitmeis, you follow the majority. Whatever the majority says, that's what we accept. And here we go on with the interpretation or the application of Rabbi Nechemya's words. V'asu shtei noshim b'isha achas, two women versus one woman, k'shnei anoshim b'ish echad, like two men versus one man, two males versus one male. And everyone knows that in the rules of testimony, two witnesses will certainly overrule whatever one witness says. Avol shtei noshim b'ish echad. But if it's a question of two women going up against the testimony of one man, ki palga upalga domi. It's like one against one. To appreciate this a little more, we take a look at Rashi. Ki palga upalga domi klomar. Ki palga literally means half. But in this case, if it's a case of two women against one man, what does it mean? It's ki chad v'chad. It's like one against one. Ve'i bevas achas osu. If they came together, then uki tre lebahadi chad. V'ukme asveka. Then you would just pit off the two women against the one man. The two women saying that nitmeis. The two women that claim nitmeis and one man saying lo nitmeis. They would cancel each other out. V'ukme asveka. And the sota is back to the sofek position because they canceled each other out. The e, now notice, we're focusing on a case where there's one man versus the two women. Here we're not saying just follow the majority of deos. So what is it? It's viewed as one against one. And when is that? If they came in simultaneously. The e boze achar zeh, if however the two women and that one man are not coming in together. Vahu demina Torah kidam v'osa bereisha, and the one that the Torah believes, namely the single man testifying nitmeis, if he comes in first, And his testimony is accepted. It's not a case of Basachaz, it's a case of Bozachaz. Havilei Kishnayim. He would then have the power of two. Vehanoch, the two women, Kechad, have the power of one. V'ein divrein b'makomo. And their testimony has no weight against his testimony of nitmes, and there would be no drinking, even though the two women are saying lo nitmes. V'heicho d'shtayim omros nitmes. And in a case where two women are saying nitmes, that there was defilement. V'ein echod kosher omer lo nitmes. And one kosher witness is saying she was not defiled. Hoysa shoysa. She will drink. Mind you, even though there were two women saying nitmes. Nitmes is the classic case of no drinking. But they were followed by one man saying lo nitmes. So he cancels them out. She drinks. Dechi chad v'chad ninu. It's like one against one. Umasnisin dekotoni lo hoysa shoysa. That there would be no drinking. Kagon dahu chad have a puzzel. That's a case where the one the case of the Mishnah, of course, is case number three, where two said nitmes and one said lo nitmes, and the Mishnah ruled there is no drinking. It's because that echod, that one that said lo nitmes, was have a puzzle. Dahuchan have a puzzle. Was a puzzle. So then, in a case like that, we say it's two against one. The two had said nitmes, and the one was two women against one woman, and therefore we follow the rov deos. But just to repeat ourselves, had that one who was saying lo nitmes been a man, he would have countered the two women saying nitmes. And therefore there's no knowledge of what happened. You're left with the suffix. And in that case, as we saw here in the Rashi, she would drink. Now we turn back to the Gemara. At this point, according to how Reb Chiya presents the sugya, how he presents the Mishnah, cases 2 and 3 are learned, as we said, on their own, and not no inferences to be drawn from them. And the two cases, cases 2 and 3 of the Mishnah, are dealing with psulei edus. And the rule is, follow the majority. Two say one way, one says the other way. You'll follow the two against the one. Either way, you're going to follow the two against the one. The Gemara asks, "V'tarti v'psulei edus lomali." What do I need two cases, two separate cases, to illustrate that concept that when you're dealing with psulei edus, follow the majority? Just teach one case. Mahu detema. Without teaching both cases, I would have thought, "Ki azlinon bosa roiv deyois." When is it that we say follow the majority l'chumra? If the result would be making her drink. L'chumra means stringency. For our purposes, stringency means making her drink. Of course, subjecting her to the danger of exploding, of dying. So, without having taught both cases, I would have thought that, yeah, I'll follow the, when you're dealing with psulei edus, you follow the majority. That's in the case that two are saying lo nitmes, and one is saying nitmes. That would be, in effect, case number two, where two are saying lo nitmes, one is saying nitmes, follow the two that said lo nitmes, and then we're left with the doubt. She drinks. That's l'chumra. Aval l'kula. But the scenario that is represented by case three, what did it say in case three? Two said nitmes, one says not. Well, you'd follow the two against the one. What would the result of that be? The Mishnah says itself, lo hoysa shoysa, but I wouldn't say that. L'kula, but to follow rov deos, resulting in her not having to drink, lo azlinon, I would have thought maybe there we don't follow the rov deos. Komash malon, the Mishnah reveals to us by teaching the additional case, that even when the result is her not drinking, even when the result of following the Rov Deos is this leniency of her not drinking, we still follow the Rov Deos. And you can see with Siyata Dishmaya, we have arrived at the end of this entire perek, albeit one shiur. And Amir Tzashem, next time we'll continue with the seventh perek, Elu Nem B'chor Loshon. Before we conclude, though, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.